text this morning is Psalm 22. And I was trying to recall if I had ever spoken on Psalm 22 here before. And the answer is no. But I do remember I gave a Bible study on it to Joey. And then Joey preached on Psalm 22. So that's been quite a long time ago, and you need to be refreshed on it. Now, this is a good Easter text. Easter's coming in a couple of weeks, and this is about the sufferings that Jesus went through at that time. So if you would turn in your Bibles to Psalm 22, let me discuss for a moment about suffering. There are several ways people can suffer. There's mental anguish, and then there's physical pain. To illustrate, I have a friend who lived in Berrien Springs, Michigan. He was a laboratory technologist. He was driving out to his family home in Nebraska at Christmas time. He came to a bridge. There was snow on the road. The car started to slip, and he hit the abutment of the bridge. And he had a broken leg and several broken ribs. But the pain from the ribs and the leg was not nearly so great as the pain from the mental pain from the fact that his 13-year-old son had been sitting in the seat next to him and he died in the accident. So here you have a case of mental anguish and physical pain. So now you can see both. Now the psalm, you'll notice that it starts, it's attributed to David. And that's to be expected because it's in the first book of the Psalms, which are all Davidic Psalms. And it's right in the middle of them. Now we think about David, and we think of him as a great general, and we think of him as a poet, and we think of him as a great political leader. But what he is in this psalm is a prophet. We don't often think of David as a prophet, but in this case, Psalm 22, he takes on prophetic guise and prophetic work. The psalm starts with a verse that you are very familiar with, but you probably think of it elsewhere. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? From the words of my groaning. This occurs again both in Matthew and Mark, and it is given to you in Aramaic. Eli, Eli, my God, Lama, why? Sabachta, have you forsaken? Ni at the end as a suffix, me. So Jesus felt when he was on the cross that his relationship between he and his father, which had been so close for 3 years of public ministry, was being broken up. And it continues on to say that he continues the groaning in the night season. Now we might think, well, wait a minute, I thought Jesus went on the cross during the day, and that is true. But he also was in Gethsemane before he went to the cross. So he was groaning in Gethsemane, and it was in Gethsemane that the chalice trembled in his hand. But he finally agreed, my Father, let your will be done. And he went to the cross so that he might save you and me. Now the next thing that comes up is about the fathers. You are holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and thou didst deliver them. I want to calculate that back to very remote fathers. Fathers at the time of the Exodus. They were under slavery in bondage in Egypt, as we have read with our commandments this morning. And they were delivered. God sent a deliverer, and Moses delivered them. And this is the time of the year that we know that is celebrated as Passover. And so this psalm has echoes of Passover, and it's at Passover time that Jesus came to the cross. Then, but the lesson here is, this is actually a complaint. The Father's trusted in you, and they were delivered, but I'm trusting in you, and I'm still suffering. And so the bond, the close relationship between Christ and his Father was being broken up. He did not see the way through it. Then he reverts back to think about his birth. And his birth, as you know, is described in 2 out of the 4 Gospels, in Matthew and Luke. And so he says, I skipped over a section. It's the ridicule from the present fathers, the rabbis and leaders of the Jewish populace, as they passed by the cross, they ridiculed him. They said, "If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross." And he could have. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he didn't. And he didn't for a reason. He didn't for you and for me, so that we might have salvation. Because he was hanging on that cross as an atonement, that our sins might be forgiven. Now we come to the story of his birth. "But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me trust when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God since my mother bare me." And so Jesus reflects back, because he was specially protected by his mother and father, Joseph and Mary. You remember the story. Herod wanted to kill the children in Bethlehem under 2 years of age. But Jesus, with Joseph and Mary, escaped to Egypt. And so he reflects back. "Look, you delivered me then. Why don't you deliver me now?" But the this section of the psalm, the mental anguish that he's going through, ends with a prayer. And the prayer is, "Be not far from me, for there is none to help." That's a little prayer that he's asking God to be. And actually, as we find towards the end of the psalm, God really was with him. Now, that's the first chord of the psalm, mental anguish. Now we look at the physical suffering of Jesus in prophecy. And remember, from David to Jesus is 1,000 years. There was no text telling of the coming of Muhammad. There was no text telling of the coming of Buddha. There were many texts telling of the coming of Jesus, the Messiah who was to come. Micah 5:2 tells us where he was to be born, in Bethlehem. Daniel 9 tells us when he was to be born. There are 6 messianic prophecies, major messianic prophecies in the book of Isaiah. In chapter 7, 9, and 11, it's about the coming king. In chapter 42, 44, and 53, we have 3 songs about the suffering servant, which we're also dealing with here. And so there's a description of animals, and we know these are not animals. These are the wicked who are ready to assault Jesus. And so they are described as animals which surround him, and as if they are ready to pounce. First it shows them around him, ready to pounce, and then it shows them actually attacking. And so it reads, "Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gape upon me with their mouth as a ravening and roaring lion." So here they are in preparation. Then Jesus describes his sufferings through David. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. You may remember the episode on the cross when the Roman soldier comes with a spear to make sure that he has died on Friday afternoon and doesn't need to be put back on the cross after Sabbath. And so he thrusts his spear into his chest. Now, for some reason or other, classical artists painted that spear on the left side. On the right side. When in actuality, as you know so well, and as the Roman soldiers knew, the heart is on the left side. I once saw a patient at Patton State Hospital in California that had what's called dextrocardia. He had his heart over here. And they used to use him for a trick on the medical students. So the spear is thrust in, and what comes out is blood and water. Not really water. We today would call it serum, but they in those days called it water. And so blood and serum comes out from the stab in his chest. And the ravening lion, roaring lion, has attacked. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws. You remember the episode of Jesus, one of the seven words of Jesus on the cross is, I thirst. And they offered him a sponge with vinegar, and he refused it. So here's his tongue cleaving to his mouth. He's in shock. And one of the symptoms of shock is thirst. And so then he reverts back to the theme they've now attacked. For dogs have compassed me, a company of evildoers. Now you find out who these animals are. They're not bulls. They're not dogs. They're human beings. They're Roman soldiers. And they pierced my hands and feet. And you know, so actually only one person, one archaeological example of a person who suffered from crucifixion in Israel has been found in Israel, 1968, at a place north of Jerusalem. And what they found, there were streaks in the hands, but the feet were pierced on the heel bone sideways. And this is a very painful injury. I worked for a year in a railroad hospital, Santa Fe Hospital in California. And we had one man who jumped down off a train and broke both of his heel bones. He was laid off for a year. That's how painful and how long acting that injury is. And Jesus probably suffered it according to this example that we see. They part my garments among them, and upon my vesture do they cast lots. All four of the Gospels mention this. And there is, in the Church of the Ladies of Zion, across the street from the gate going in, there is the floor of the barracks of the Roman soldiers. And on the floor, they scratched a game. And so when you think of them gambling over the garments of Jesus at the foot of the cross, you have an example of how they gambled or played games on the floor of their own barracks. And so all four of the Gospels tell us that they gambled about his garments. As you know, the famous book and movie, The Robe, and in that the actor who receives the robe, his life is changed. And so this section too ends with a prayer. Be thou not far off, O Jehovah. O thou my succor, haste thee to deliver my soul from the sword. Now, you might ask, what happened to him? Well, we know from the Gospels, of course, Jesus died. And it says so here, thou dost lay me in the dust of death. It says so in the prophetic psalm. And then we come to the second half of the psalm, the part that many people don't preach about. But what I want to call to your attention is there is an assembly. And there's an assembly that becomes larger and larger and larger and larger. And so, he says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Whose brethren are these? These are Jewish. All ye seed of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him. So we see Jesus in the center of this assembly, glorified, magnified, powerful. And then this assembly gets larger. Verse 25. Of thee cometh my praise in the great assembly. The Gentiles have come in. And then it goes even farther. Verse 27. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn unto Jehovah. And all the kindreds of the nations. So it's more than just Jews. The Jews are the central part, but the Gentiles become the extension, the larger part. And so, now that's geographical territory from Israel out to the uttermost ends of the earth. But now there's a chronological marker. And all they that go down to the dust shall bow before him. In other words, people in the past, people of Israel who died, they too will be in this great assembly. So this implies a resurrection of these saints. And that's one part in the section, middle of the psalm, in between the part of the suffering and in the part of the great assembly that isn't mentioned about Jesus, his resurrection. But it's implied here too. Because he's alive to be praised and to be rejoiced. And then notice that the chronological marker goes forward unto the next generation, unto a people that shall be born. He hath done it. So geographically it starts with Israel, then it becomes the Gentiles, then it becomes all the Gentiles, all the nations of the world. And then it's those who died in the past and those who will be born in the future. That's you. That's me. 2,000 years from these events. Now the last phrase of the psalm says, they're praising him because he hath done it. There's another way to translate that. And the way to translate it in an alternate form is, it is finished. What Jesus did on the cross, the atoning sacrifice, was finished. He had given his life. He died. Now I want you to... The question is, when does this great assembly scene apply? And I want to read a paragraph from Great Controversy. In the preceding paragraph, she mentions Christ coming and taking up the saints. Before entering the city of God, all right, the people have come back. The Savior bestows upon his followers the emblems of victory and invests them with the insignia of their royal state. The glittering ranks are drawn up in the form of a hollow square around their king, whose form rises in majesty high above every saint and angel. So, to my thinking, to my application, you see Christ suffering on the cross. And the question is, did it accomplish anything? Yes, he died. We know that from this psalm, and we know that from the Gospels. Did it accomplish anything? And yes, it will yet one day accomplish by bringing all this great assembly together. And in the middle of this great assembly will be Jesus, magnified and glorified. And you have the privilege and opportunity to be in that great crowd. In other words, accept what he has done in the first part of the psalm. Accept that these sufferings were for you to make an atonement for your sin, that you may one day stand with this great crowd and praise him and glorify him. That's the opportunity that you have. Thank you, Lord, for what you were willing to endure for us. Thank you for the great salvation which it has opened up for us. Thank you for the opportunity to be one day amongst that great crowd before you open the pearly gates of this new Jerusalem. We thank you and praise you and glorify you now so that we may thank you and praise you and glorify you then. In your name, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.